is on X at Lester KK. Good morning, Cape Town, with Lester Kibbett.
21 minutes past 6 o'clock. I'm an infrequent patron of malls. Once a month, once every 6 weeks, I will grit and bear and I will go to the nearest mall where I live. But are malls drawing fewer and fewer patrons? Is it due to the rise of e-commerce, or is it because of tough economic times that we live in? There's a sense that more management companies are seeing fewer and fewer foot traffic. I would go to a mall and I would see a number of vacant little outlets. What do more management companies need to do to make themselves part of the community as well? It's one of the reasons why I don't attend, go to malls, because I would rather want a more personal community-based experience. I would rather go to a local supermarket and grocer, and I buy fresh fruit and vegetables from a small grocer close to where I live. But I'm speaking now to Tuku Kagiso Mahlangu, who is the director and head of real estate and conveyancing at CMS Africa, joins me now to give us some insights on the current state of malls in South Africa. Good morning, Kagiso. Really appreciate your time. Is it just me, or have we seen a downward trend in people visiting malls in South Africa? Good morning.
Good morning, Lester, and to you and your listeners. I'm saying hi from Windy Johannesburg, by the way.
Hold on to your hat, please.
Oh, holding on to my hat. Definitely, I think the retail market has been hit hard, right? By high interest rates, high inflation. I mean, there's been a lot of economic uncertainty, and we've seen a lot of infrastructure uncertainty and challenges with electricity load shedding. And as you know, now water load shedding, even though, you know, we seem to have said goodbye to that. So even though that has been the challenge, and obviously coming out of the pandemic, it is improving, but it's no doubt that they have been hit hard.
I'm seeing plenty of windows papered up, but instead of to let signs, they give me a exciting new store coming, except it takes very long for that store to materialize. Is this a result of only a struggling economy, the result of a pandemic, but what influence has also e-commerce had on the mall environment?
Yeah, you know, whilst I can't obviously comment on why the choice of moving from a to let sign to an exciting new store and whether that's a marketing ploy, what we are seeing is that negotiating leases has become very challenging. I think tenants are becoming very sophisticated. They are questioning all the standard clauses that you would normally say, well, I would sign on the dotted line just to get space in a mall. So I think, yes, the negotiation processes are taking long, and perhaps that is why. And coming out of the pandemic especially, tenants are not settling. Tenants are pushing back and saying, listen, these are the terms that I want for my agreement. And they are having robust negotiations with their landlords. And with regards to e-commerce, I mean, definitely, Lester, it is playing a role. But we are seeing how it does also play a positive role within the mall space. I mean, you're seeing a lot of companies or what retailers tend to do, hybrid retail, where a store not only sells things from their store but also sells things online, which is fantastic to see.
We've seen some malls offer the pop-up store experience. It's more little niche little retail outlets. How do you take a pop-up store concept and transfer that into maybe a more longer term rental or lease within a mall?
Pop-up stores are quite interesting, and I think that it's quite exciting to see, because it's an opportunity for these malls to allow, for example, a local business within the area that they serve to come in, try out their products, and as a consumer, you know, you get a chance to be exposed to a variety of products which we might not necessarily see from the big retail companies that you normally see in malls. So it is quite a good opportunity, and I mean, there are companies or developers who are looking at that, okay, coming in as a pop-up store, let's see how you do for a year. I'll give you a lower rental, and if things look good, we can make a permanent arrangement of that. So it's quite a great opportunity, especially for local businesses.
I was a mall rat when I was a youngster, but when I was a youngster, almost every mall also had a arcade. It also had a cinema. Fewer and fewer malls are offering what I would consider emotional connections to patrons. And this is also because the cinema experience has changed. People are watching online now. There's been a change in, I know what I experience, are seeing fewer and fewer young people hang out at malls. Is there an opportunity to reestablish an emotional connection? And I know it's an emotional connection, with a cathedral of commerce, but it's still a emotional connection where when I was growing up, young people congregated and we hung out, and that was our environment over weekends.
So true. I remember those days as well, Lister. And I think, there's no doubt that when you develop a mall, it's quite important to do your research. And I'd have no doubt that they do this. In some respects, they do play on our emotions, because even where the food courts are is a play on your emotion, because you need to, smell that whiff of a freshly baked something for you to say, okay, I need to actually get something to eat. So there is a lot of things that go into, the design of a mall that play on emotions. And I guess the market is different because we're all different, right? Some people maybe might enjoy the retail therapy of it and find that super exciting in terms of going and, looking into these high-end stores and seeing what's, for sale. So it's different, and I guess that's the challenge. And that's an opportunity for these malls to say, what can we do differently? How can we, perhaps bring more exciting things within a mall space and not just the standard, I'm going to go buy milk and bread, to also bolster their numbers in terms of foot traffic?
Because what we saw during the Rugby World Cup and what we saw at the weekend, I saw some photographs and visuals coming out of Tiger Valley Mall here in Cape Town. There are 5 million people who want to watch the Springboks play rugby, but they can't because they don't subscribe to Supersport. Malls can transform this space into cultural and entertainment venues. The Waterfront does that quite well with the amphitheater. But also, how do we do that out of just a Rugby World Cup time, or outside of a time when the Springboks or national team is playing? How do we bring a sense of, this is not just a retail experience, this can be a community experience?
I love that example, and it's so important for them to stay on trend, right? Yes, these things come in waves, but I mean, if you look at examples internationally, you can have a mall space that is used for mixed use, right? I mean, you can have a training ground, or some sort of place where you can have a local team come practice, whether it's soccer, basketball, or whatever it is. And I think just tapping into some of these things is important, because once you're there, you might then, have the idea that, oh, okay, let me go pick up something that wouldn't necessarily draw you into that mall in the first place. So it is quite vital for these malls to stay on point in terms of what is happening in the communities that they serve, and how they can develop, things that we don't normally see in order to attract foot traffic.
Messenger saying Table Bay Mall listed as a Cape Town municipal office. I've seen that, and it's quite busy, particularly on weekends. I think that's also important. Incorporating the administration of people's lives, paying your rates and taxes, paying a fine, getting your license disc updated, having all that within a commercial space. But really appreciate your time. Kagiso Mahlangu, Director and Head of Real Estate and Conveyancing at CMS South Africa. Just after 6:30 now, time now for your Eyewitness News. And here's Zulfa Khan.
Thanks, Lester. Good